Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and boy, oh boy, we've met some amazing people here on Paradigm Shifters. First of all, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive, that most of you know that, and I'm trying to really enjoy how many people are making a difference in the collective of our species at this time, and a time of shift and change on our planet. And I have a wonderful visitor tonight, a wonderful guest named Christian Minson, who is going to present to you a whole new, maybe it's not new, he's going to present in a new way a wonderful old style of breathing for enlightenment, breathing for consciousness, breathing for healing. So welcome to the show, Christian. How are you?
Thank you, Veronica. I am doing very well tonight.
Are you noticing that there's an awful lot of change going on in the planet these days?
Oh, yeah. It seems like the change is only becoming more and more accelerated.
Yeah. And we almost have to surf like mad just to keep up with it, don't we?
Yes, indeed.
So I hear that you, first of all, Christian's website, for those of you who would like to look him up, is breathflow.com. Is that right? Breathflow,
yes.
One word?
Yes. Mm-hmm. BREATHF, as in Frank, LOW.com.
And I know that you have been a monk for 10 years, 10 years of your life dedicated to learning and being in a kind of an isolated environment through the Self-Realization Fellowship, through the Yogananda style, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. That's where I began my breath training, essentially, in the meditation techniques that we practiced there for, you know, literally about 4.5 hours each day. And I really learned how focusing in on the breath could help us let go of body consciousness and attain higher states of conscious awareness.
What's the style? And I guess it's called Kriya, is it?
Yes, the style of the Yogananda's teachings is Kriya Yoga, and I definitely recommend it for anybody who would like to check into that. They offer lessons for people at there's no obligation, essentially, and as you go deeper in, if you like the teachings, then you can make your choices or not according to, you know, if you want to follow that path or not.
So why did you go into that path? Like, who are you? How did you come into, obviously, you're a spiritual being and you're very, wanting to attune to higher consciousnesses. And so what made you go into the ashram or the monk system? What is it called, an ashram?
Yeah, ashram, monastery, for those of the Western ilk, but that's a good question. I think there's definitely some past life energy that came with me. My mother told me as a youngster I used to ask all the hard questions in Sunday school, you know, the ones that Sunday school teachers just couldn't answer. And, you know, as the years went on, there was just a growing desire in me to really understand the meaning of life and really reach for the highest goal that we could attain as human beings. And that came to me as the goal of realizing God or realizing the innate divinity within us. And around the time of that realization, I was introduced to a number of different paths that taught meditation as a route to that that individual expression or that individual seeking of the divine. And the Self-Realization Fellowship, just, you know, I read Yogananda's book, Autobiography of a Yogi, and it just resonated with me on such a deep level. It seemed to explain all the things, all the thoughts that had been in my head, and yet I had no context for them. And from there, I to make a long story short, made the decision to dedicate my life to that total seeking of the God within us, and to serve mankind in the process.
Wonderful. You know, because we had this conversation the other day, I dug out my autobiography of a yogi. Mm-hmm. and I remembered reading it, and like a lot of us have that kind of innate drive to find out what God consciousness is or what spirituality is, don't we? It's not a religion so much, it's some sort of innate, at least that's what I experienced. Is that sort of what you experienced?
Well, that's, yes. I think that, you know, given, for those who have any kind of spiritual energy kind of flowing at the surface of their consciousness, it becomes a, how can I put it, really? It's really the essence of our nature to seek that which is sustaining us, you know, that which is our life energy, the source of our consciousness and energy, and that essentially is the whole game of life, to discover, rediscover kind of where we came from and the magnificence that we are in our essence.
So did you find a lot of that while you were in the ashram or in the monastery?
Well, yes, I think the ashram was ideally suited for allowing a lot of time for meditation and, of course, in spiritualizing all our activities, really to connect our daily processes with this idea that we are something so much greater, and to have less investment in the day-to-day workings of life, you know, all the ups and downs that we meet in the course of trying to get something done, the challenges that we face, and so on.
Good old 3D.
Exactly.
But I remember in Yogananda's book, and I haven't had time to read the whole thing, but because of you, I am now going to reread this wonderful book. But he himself had a real drive to stabilize or answer some of the questions of that very thing, didn't he?
Yes, Yogananda. So that was his mission, and basically to bring to the West techniques to help people do exactly that, find out for themselves the true nature of our being.
Yeah, and he also, doing that book, which reads like somebody, you almost reads like when you know somebody and you kind of trust their personality and so on, and then they go through this journey, you can read it, you know, read it as if you're there with them. He really touched a lot of people for, what, 60 years now with that book, Autobiography of a Yogi. Not meaning to go on and on about him, but he really did make a big difference, didn't he?
Well, certainly is one of the, you know, spiritual giants of our time, and the autobiography has been a gateway to the spiritual life for many seekers, whether they choose to go down the path of self-realization fellowship, which is the path he established, or that they use the book as a launching pad for their seeking into, you know, the myriad of different paths out there, or even to develop their own sense of spirituality, the book Autobiography has been an integral part of many people's processes.
It sure has. It's amazing. So tell us about you, Christian. You, it's an interesting name, Christian, right? For a spiritual seeker, it's a wonderful name.
Hmm? Yes, well, that came to me from the ashram years.
Oh, really?
Yes. So... Mm-hmm. I, what do you want to know about me?
Okay, so what drove you into it was seeking a place where you could actually explore that kind of search for God consciousness. So what brought you out?
What brought me out was really seeking the highest and the divine back out in the world. You know, the ashram was kind of an incubating place for me, a place to really establish a firm spiritual foundation. And through my time there, I kind of realized that there's many reasons why we take a journey of that kind of significance. And for me and for anyone, many of them are noble, and then some of the other reasons are what I call chicken reasons. things we wanted to avoid, things that didn't rub us very well on this side of the fence. And as I progressed in the ashram, I felt that I had gained a certain amount of what I had come there for, and then these chicken reasons, as I call them, began to surface and really were telling me that if the next step in my evolution was to face these things. And to make a long story short, where I needed to face them was back out here in the big wide world.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a challenge, isn't it? So you brought with you some amazing skills and talents, didn't you?
Exactly. Well, I couldn't very well, I respect the teachings of Yogananda and the ashram very much, and part of that is not to basically teach those teachings. But what I really got from the transition or from those ashram years was that there's really something to the breath that we can all stand to learn from. And it just so happened as I was making my shift, I was introduced to this technique of transformational breathing. When I was in that transitional period, it was very, if you can imagine trying to make a decision from something you'd been in for 10 years, really dedicating your life to, essentially making the pledge to dedicate your life to it to the best of your ability, and then having these feelings come up from within that were really driving me in a new direction. Well, there were all sorts of feelings of anxiety and uncertainty. Am I doing the right thing? Am I ruining my life by making a change from this stable, constant known to going out into an unknown? And I happened upon a seminar basically that used this breathing technique as its primary tool, and it had such a profound effect on my life. It really helped me, one, come to terms with that I had these feelings within me. Being a monk, being a male, and coming from a family that we didn't really express our feelings that succinctly in general, this technique first just allowed me to realize I had feelings in me. Then the next thing it really did was help me to express those feelings, that it gave me an outlet through this process, an outlet to express them. But it went a step further and then actually gave me a way to process them or release them. So not just to express the feelings, but to really express them and let them go, let that energy play out so that I could replace it with new, more dynamic energy that helped me move into the direction that my heart was calling, and that ultimately was back out here to help in the way that I am doing these days.
So you're saying really that the breathing techniques dragged up stuff that might have been like lodged in your body mind that hadn't been acknowledged from you, breathing up old emotions and perhaps
exactly.
Even irrelevant emotions, or what would you say?
Yeah, just hidden, buried emotions, feelings of the situation that I found myself in and wasn't sure of. I love the title of your program, Paradigm Shifters, because that's essentially what we do with this technique is take people from a paradigm of anxiety, disconnection, stress over the trials and challenges that we all face on a daily basis and that I did during that time, and help them to shift into a life where they meet the daily struggles with more of a calm sense of ease and grace, opening up to a connection with a higher supportive power that's within themselves, within all of us. And that's done basically through this simple process of conscious breathing that allows us to take back our control and our emotions. And that process is called transformational breathing.
Now tell me this, Christian. Do we have to do it for 4 hours a day?
Now that's the great thing. The process ultimately, you know, there's a number of ways to really utilize it, and the first is, you know, in a more of a therapeutic setting where the normal way people experience it, I'd say, is to come in for a session, or we have group sessions or seminars and things like that where the session itself lasts about an hour. Like you'll actually breathe in the circular breathing technique for about an hour.
And is this the Yogananda technique?
No, this is the transformational breathing technique. It came from a woman named Dr. Judith Kravitz, who is my mentor. She developed the Transformational Breath Foundation and created this technique about 30 years ago when she herself had a struggle with a cancerous tumor in her throat and was guided to heal it holistically. And she was experimenting with the techniques of the breath at that time. And to make that story short, she in dedicating herself to her breathing techniques, she was able to reverse her condition, and the tumor shrank and eventually disappeared over the course of many months.
Well, that's really something. That's very impressive, isn't it?
Yes, that impressed me.
Because I haven't been able to bring your flyers here to where I'm sitting, but I noticed that you talked about a number of healing results that come from it, like bringing peace or rapid evolution, but a lot of physical changes as well, right?
Yeah. Well, there's so many benefits to the breath, and you know, from helping people get rid of chronic physical pain, stress, as I mentioned, migraines, asthma, allergies, depression, addictions. You know, people find that they'll lose weight, they'll gain energy, strength, and stamina, and you know, their senses come to life like never before. Things taste and smell better. Touch is more electric. You know, there's a whole subject for another day is how conscious breathing can enhance your sex life.
No, that's great.
But people find their relationships improving with themselves, with others, and even their relationship with money. And you wonder how can the breath do all this? And it's really that all these issues that we're facing, that we're trying to get rid of, are really a symptom or symptoms of a deeper issue that's working within us. And usually that is stuck emotional energy, you know, and the breath works to help that energy to come out and process, kind of like I was explaining in my own situation, transitioning from a monk back out into the world. And it helps, it gets that energy moving and processed, and then these issues begin to shift.
Were you afraid coming out of the monastery? Were you afraid at all? What did it feel like coming out? Wasn't it overwhelming?
Definitely plenty of fear and anxiousness. But that was, you know, the main things that I really needed to face was, one, to take personal responsibility for my life and happiness, to realize that nobody else but me had control over how I feel. Two, to face my fears. And three, to trust my intuition. And in facing your fears, facing my fears, it, you know, I'm doing that now, but that doesn't mean that those fears just go away because you face them.
They might come up again and again, might they?
Exactly. And that's why this breath process, the second way that people can experience it is as an in the moment type of therapy, that you can, as things arise, as feelings arise, as you're faced with an anxious situation, that you can actually stop right then and there, open yourself up to breathing deeper, breathing in this conscious flowing pattern, and you can literally shift the way you feel in a matter of 5, 10, 15 minutes and process that feeling and get on with your life then. So you don't have to continually add to your storage of feelings that you don't want to experience, that we keep locked deep within us, but that you can really just process them in real time and get on with it. And that, I think, that's probably the more advanced way to use the technique, but I think ultimately the most effective too.
Can you give, two things here. As one, we've decided tonight to take callers. So if you have questions for Christian about what? About breathing your way out of various situations, please call in. And I don't know the number. I think it's right on your screen. But if you'd like to call in and ask Christian a question, that'd be great. And also, Christian, I wonder if you could give us like a basic breathing technique, which we'll go into farther unless we have callers, and we'll see what comes up then, right?
Yeah, certainly. Would you like that now?
Yeah, well, Bob's just setting up the number here for me. But actually, let's do it now, and then people can get that off their screen, or I'll give the number right after we do that.
Okay. Well, what I would suggest for people, and they can, anybody listening can tune in and go ahead and do this as I'm explaining it.
I'm going to do it too.
What I'll
if I don't come back on, wake me up.
What is called is the 100 breaths to joy, basically. And this can be done any day, any time of day, anywhere you're at, except for driving. I don't recommend that you do it driving. In fact, I recommend you don't do it while driving. But it's a very modified version of the transformational breath technique that we teach in the seminars and things that we hold. So what you want to do is get yourself comfortable in a comfortably relaxed position. If you're sitting in a chair, just make sure your back is straight. If you're, you can be lying down, you can be propped up partially, just so that you're comfortable and so that you are not compressing your chest and your diaphragm, so you don't want to be hunched over. The breath is a mouth breath. In other words, we're going to be breathing in and out through the mouth, and what we want to do as we inhale is inhale deep into the diaphragm. And to do this, you might want to put your hands on your belly, and you can feel your middle finger might go over your belly button. And with your hands over your belly, as you inhale, you should feel your belly extending outwards. So your belly is filling up like a big balloon. And on the exhale then, you're just letting go. It's just a quick sigh. There's no force, no effort in the exhale. And there's no need to release all of the air within you like you might do if you practice yoga or something like that. Like, you don't have to do that. You just, so it's in and out, in and out. The inhale again, coming into your diaphragm, or using your diaphragm so that your belly extends out, filling up like a big balloon. Exhale, your belly should just naturally fall. And if you just keep on going with that sort of rhythm and pace, you'll begin to, well, we're basically calling this the 100 breaths of joy because you do this for 100 breaths. So you can count to 100 as you are breathing each breath. Or a simple way to keep yourself going is to put on a piece of gentle music that lasts about 5 minutes, because 100 breaths takes approximately 5 minutes. And when that's over, you're done. Or I have CDs of guided 100 Breaths of Joy sessions by my mentor, Judith Kravitz, and those are available on my website. It's a great way to just, you know, put on that CD, have her guide you through the process, and let that breath just take you. Now, as you're breathing, you might notice things come up. You might start to feel a little dizzy. That's quite normal. As you get more oxygen into your body, you're adjusting to the new sensations. That should pass. And then what might come up, any emotions or feelings that are kind of on the surface, or you just want to breathe into them. Just allow the whole process is to allow whatever energies are coming up to come up, because the breath will help take care of them. The breath will help you to move those energies out of your being, so you don't have to hold on to them and re-experience them for days, weeks, months, years, decades of your life if you so choose to hold on to these things. So you're breathing, you're going, and any kind of feeling, you just want to let it come out, let it play out. And at the end of the 5 minutes, the 100 breaths, then you can take one last deep breath in and then just let it all go. And if you practice this just every day, you know, once a day in the morning is ideal as you wake up, but like I said, you can do it any time that fits your schedule. You'll begin to find things start to bother you less. You're a little more in tune, in sync with your daily process, and life just starts to be better. Then you might want to seek the longer, more detailed version of the technique and really get into if your stuff and clear that if you're so inclined.
So if you're doing a workshop, a breath flow workshop, you go into a longer, more detailed technique in which people do actually process as well?
Exactly. And that, you know, that can, that's where we breathe for approximately an hour. And if you can imagine, if you felt anything there within just the few short minutes that we did the 100 breaths, you can imagine what could come up in the course of an hour.
What I felt like, when I did it as much as I could in that period of time, and I felt this wonderful, kind of a higher frequency energy. There's a lot more air in amongst my cells. That sounds sort of hokey, but I felt sort of expanded and like my frequency was moving up. Is that part of the goal too, is lifting your frequency?
Yes, very much so. And
so what happens, Christian, when a lot of you are doing those kinds of breathing together? You know, do you find that the whole collective moves up?
Yes, there is definitely a power in breathing in a group. The whole group tends to support each other, and in my workshops and seminars, I try to invoke that in the beginning so that everybody's on the same page, to that they are actually not only in it for themselves, but as co-participants helping each other to raise their vibration and clear their stuff, making it a safe and comfortable place for people to go into this. Hmm. Because quite frankly, in order to really get into your pain and things that have been holding you back, you have to get into a vulnerable place. And that vulnerable place is necessary if we're going to get into that stuff, but it's very necessary if we want to get through that stuff and enter into that place of our highest dreams and aspirations.
So what is the vulnerable place? Would you say that's the place where we give up our defenses, or what would you say that is?
Exactly. Where, you know, that place where we our ego lets go, and we finally kind of pry the grip of the ego away from our consciousness and begin to allow the whatever is in our consciousness to come up. And, you know, if we've been storing things, traumas from the past, feelings we haven't wanted to experience, those are the first things that are going to come up, because they're, you know, like muck at the bottom of a pond. They're the things that have been hiding or covering that deeper part of us, that magnificence I was talking about in the beginning, that wants to shine forth. But
it takes a lot of courage to look at the sludge as it comes up through, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It definitely is. That, and that's one point about this, is that this process is, you know, a do-it-yourself program. It's for somebody who really is willing to face their stuff. And quite frankly, I don't think if we really want to clear what's deep within us, there's no other way to do it but to do it ourselves.
I agree with you. Talking about doing it yourself, if any of you would like to call in, the number is 888-815-9756. That is 888-815-9756. And in the meantime, I think I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
Would you use this? What if you're having a, let me think of something, feeling a really deep insecurity when you're going out because of a competitive nature of a group or something? Could you use it then to, would you recommend using a breathing technique then to deal with it?
You mean when you're going out on for a party or going out
Let's
with a group of friends or something like that?
Yeah, maybe some people and you're not very confident and there's a lot more competition than you feel like, and maybe it's a social environment. Yeah, we'll think of it as social environment. Sometimes it's people's workplace.
Yes, yes. Well, anywhere there's an imbalance of energy, things aren't flowing smoothly, and generally those areas of competition or anxiousness, whatever's going on in these different environments, is a perfect place to use this process. And that, you know, ideally, if you know it's coming up, you might spend time in the therapeutic setting where you take time beforehand to really just breathe through your fears and insecurities, so that when you come into that situation, you are an element of a higher vibration, so you're helping everyone to raise theirs. Now,
do you have any experiences of that where people, you know, that you watched or you saw people do that, or you experienced yourself doing that?
Well, not so much in a group, or what comes to mind is like experience more on a personal level. I was giving a workshop this summer in, last summer in Aspen, Colorado, mm-hmm. and I had another one to give in Crested Butte. And I decided to go on Google Maps and chart my route, and it took me on this mountain pass, which as I drove into the mountains, the road turned from asphalt into gravel, and then it turned from gravel into dirt road, and then it turned from dirt road into semi-large stones, then it started to turning into larger and larger stones. And I, after a while, I realized that I was really on a major four-wheel drive mountain pass that it takes these, you know, burly Jeeps with winches on front and to pull each other out of the nooks and crannies that you find yourself getting into.
What were you driving? What kind of vehicle?
Well, I was driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee, which, you know, at least
it
had four-wheel drive. But it's certainly more of a city vehicle than really a mountain pass vehicle. And anyway, as I kept going, you know, I was really in danger there, and, you know, it was possibly the closest I've come to endangering my life, because at the final point, I turned a corner, and the rocky road that I was bouncing over turned into a stream, basically. There was a stream rolling right down the middle, and it wasn't a stream crossing the road. It was, the road was the stream.
Oh my!
And
Lord.
At that point, I knew I couldn't go on any further.
Put your pontoons on.
Yeah, but I hadn't turned around to that point, because the road was literally about a car width in width, and there on one side was a sheer steep cliff, and on the other side was basically a wall embankment. So there, as you can imagine, the feelings of kind of anxiousness and bordering on panic began to crop up. And I literally had to spend time sitting there and engaging in this breath process. Fortunately, I had a tool like this that, like I said, I could engage in on the spot. And I spent, you know, probably 10 minutes really just breathing and allowing those feelings to come up and play out until I got myself to a calm enough place where I could then, for the next hour, basically inch by inch turn around, you know, going 3 inches in one direction, then turning the wheels, going 3 inches backwards, turning the wheels, going 3 inches forward again, and getting stuck many times in the process in this riverbed of a road. But I finally did it. And, you know, the whole point of that was that I was able to keep my cool, keep myself under wraps, while in this very hairy situation.
Wow. Did you come out feeling calm? Incidentally, you have a caller. So do you want to take the caller now? I love that story, although I'm glad I'm not in that situation. I will practice breathing just in case. So you have a caller. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening. Hi, Christian. This is
Debbie
from Pahrump. And I'm glad to hear you again tonight speaking. I have been a student of Christian's, and I'm not a really good student, but because I don't do it every day. But I'm trying to become more willing in that area. But what I have practiced, it really does enrich my life. And the first thing I learned was in the workshop was how little we do really breathe and expand our lungs and draw that breath in through our bodies, that everyday breathing, we don't breathe deep enough. And
exactly.
Kristen has really helped.
Well,
I guess
that's definitely true. We you know, most people are at somewhere between 20% and 40% capacity on a regular breathing basis. There is an amazing amount of lung capacity we all have that we can bring to more life. And I was able to acquire one of these breathing machines that people get when they've exited the hospital. You might be familiar with those. You breathe into it, and the little ball goes up and try and measures your, you know, your lung capacity. And I use that now in my private sessions to just get a baseline gauge on people. And it's incredible how even healthy individuals, you know, people who haven't just come out of the hospital, have a very limited amount of lung capacity. And that's, you know, that can be corrected by learning to breathe in this open, fluid, flowing breath pattern.
Uh-huh. My husband has had to use those after his surgeries on his back, and he really has had to work them to get his lung capacity up there. They also help keep patients from getting pneumonia after surgery.
And it's ironic because when we're under stress and tension, we tend to breathe less, don't we?
Exactly. That's part of the emotional aspect of the breath. You know, we kind of are touching on physical and emotional aspects, and this might be a good chance to explain kind of how this works, why this transformational breath process really does help us.
I'll say good night then, Christian.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
And thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. I'd like you to explain this the emotional connection there.
Well,
let's you have another caller. Would you like to get that caller first, or would you like to make your explanation first?
Sure. Let's take the caller.
Good evening. You're on the air talking to Christian Minson.
Hi, this is Stephanie, and I was calling to ask Christian a question.
Where are you calling from, Stephanie?
I'm calling from Arizona, Tucson.
All right. So go ahead.
Okay, so years ago, in the earlier part of doing a lot of breath work and spending a lot of time in the bathtub, a question that I've always had is that in doing breath work or just doing breathing, it would seem that it would go just into an automatic breathing flow that I've never understood or can explain. Like
it
has
its
own natural rhythm.
So, what is your real question?
Well, is that natural for that to happen when you're in, when you're in deep breathing, releasing process, that your breath goes into its own natural rhythm, stopping, starting? I mean, it's almost like it's on its own loop.
Yeah. Well, if it's stopping and starting, I would say that really what it is your psychological resistance to breathing. Kind of what we were getting into in the how it works emotionally, that we if we stop, we have this resistance within us to letting these kind of emotions come out. We've been holding on to them for so many years in some cases that, you know, it's really in an effort to try not to experience these feelings. And when we finally do try a process like this breathing, the ego is saying, wait, this is starting to bring this stuff up. We don't want this stuff to come up. And then it acts to sabotage that process by slowing down your breathing, halting it, keeping you from forging ahead and really facing the energy that has been stuck in you for so long.
Maybe that is true, but it seemed more natural, more like as if the breath was resetting. I mean, it wasn't like it completely stopped as a resistance. It just would go into a loop. And it's a little hard to explain.
I
mean, kind of like an automatic rhythm.
Yes, exactly. And like even ever since then, in the company of doing breath work with other people, I do have a bit of a caution of if that's going to happen.
So what is,
you know,
the,
if that rhythm of that natural rhythm is going to happen in front of other people.
Right. And what's the concern?
I've never seen anybody else do it.
So, and so explain the rhythm one more time.
Well, it's almost a rhythm of breathing that goes into a deeper cycle, a deeper and deeper cycle, and then it's as if there is a slowing and a resetting of breath. I can't really explain it any better than that. But there's no effort.
Have you felt better after it, or?
Way better. Huh. Huge better. Incredibly better. Altered better.
Okay, well, that's an important component of the whole thing. Which there's two reasons why we stop at breathing. And one was what I was just explaining, that there's resistance to the breath and we kind of check out, we slow it down, we kind of derail our process. Another reason is that sometimes we just need to work out our issues on a different level, on a different psychological level. And as we slow down and essentially stop our breathing, we move into more of that sub or superconscious space, and that's where we, you know, work out what's going on within us. So if you are feeling...
The awareness of the breath stopping isn't even there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, that would be because you drift into that place of...
Other place.
Which is a healing place by the sounds of things, eh?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it can be.
Understood it, you know, or I've never understood it or had anybody I could ask, you know, what is that? You know, or does that happen outside of me?
It happens quite often. I would, if I had you come in and do a private session, what I would initially try to do with you is attempt to keep your breath flowing through the whole process. And in the last minutes of the process, last 15 minutes or so, we let you go. And if you slowed down or stopped breathing at that point, that would be okay. Then during that, though, if you consistently kept slowing down and resetting your breath, like you were mentioning, then, you know, that would be an indication that, again, depending on other signs that you're exhibiting during the breathing process, it would be easier for me to tell whether you're resisting or you're, you know, going to that place to really work out stuff.
And unfortunately, I have to end this because they're going to hook us off stage here. Thank you for your call,
all right,
Stephanie.
Well, thank you very much for kind of answering that question for me. And I'll look you up on your website.
Yeah, there's a lot more to be talked about, Christian, and I really have enjoyed what you've said. So you better give your data. Tell everybody how to find you and what kind of workshops are coming up.
Yeah, well, okay. Then check out my website, as you had mentioned, www.breathflow.com, B-R-E-A-T-H-F as in Frank, L-O-W.com. And on there, there's a tab that has upcoming events, so you can keep abreast of where I'm having workshops and events. I am based in Southern California, so a lot of things go on in the San Diego, LA region, but I travel around the country and into different parts of the world when called to do so. And if you'd like me to come to one of your towns, then, you know, find my email address on my website and give me a call, give me an email, and let me know that you'd like it, and we can potentially set something up. I'd also like to mention that if you want to go further with this, look on the products tab of the page, and you'll see a couple of different books, The Presence Process and Breathe Deep, Laugh Loudly. Those are two great books to introduce you to the process deeper. And then there's a couple of practice CDs on there too, which can get you started with this 100 Breaths of Joy. And if you're even more adventurous, a longer guided 45-minute session.
Well, I really appreciate your visit. You've got me going, and I'm going to be breathing like mad to get myself clear, too. I've enjoyed our time, Christian, and learned a lot.
Well, I've enjoyed it, too. I appreciate you having me on. And in closing, I'd just like to say to everybody that, you know, this, it's your breath, so use it. Explore it. You won't believe how easy it is to tap into deeper dimensions of your being, and you'll be amazed at how powerful some of those dimensions can be.
Thank you so much.
Accessible to everyone.
Thank you so much. That's a hopeful ending, too. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much to Christian Minson and Breath Flow, Dynamic of Transformational Breath. And next week we're going to have Linda Sherman here on Paradigm Shifters, and a lot of you are familiar with Linda Sherman. She's an astrologer, but she's also very economically aware and politically astute, so I'm pretty excited about that. Thursday night, I thought I would continue this discussion of breathing on Radiance by Design at 7 o'clock on Thursday, and we'll be talking with Jackie Salvitti and her channel team on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness at 8 o'clock Thursday night. Thank you so much for listening and participating, and take some light in from the great universe, run it through yourself, and send it out your chest, because we are all connected, and let's send a wonderful healing breath to connect us all. Good night, much love, and thank you for listening.